Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We are joined right now by Eric Bland. He is one of the hosts of the Cup of Justice podcast, as well as the attorney representing the family of Stephen Smith. It's been a little while since we've talked or since we've heard a statement from you on this case. Is there anything that you can tell us that is new or developing as they continue this investigation this summer?
Unfortunately, I have nothing new to report. I have contacted Chief Keel. I actually contacted him this morning and he said, I'll give you an update later. That was his response. Mm-hmm. It's funny, Chief Keel is calling me right now.
Should we take it live?
I don't think we'll take it live. I could take the call and we could stop for a second.
Go for it. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. He's very positive about the progress they're making. He doesn't want to say any more. He just told me something on the call that I can't say.
Sure.
But they're working it very hard and he's pleased with the momentum and the progress that they're making.
Well, that's positive news.
That is positive news. And you just got to see it.
I did.
And my understanding is that there is an impaneled grand jury. There are witnesses that are appearing before the grand jury. Subpoenas have been sent out for records. So The last time I spoke to Chief Keel, he told me that he would not be surprised if there was significant movement by late summer, early fall, which led me to say, I think by Labor Day, we should know something as to the circumstances surrounding Stephen Smith's death. You know, there was a public statement by one of the local news reporting agencies that said, oh, there's five people that SLED is focusing on as suspects. Mm-hmm. That was not accurate. What the real truth was, there's five or six people that have information concerning the circumstances surrounding Stephen's death. And one of the main things is that Chief Keel wanted to be able to get someone to talk. Mm-hmm. And the reason that they delayed the investigation of Stephen's death until after Alex Murdaugh's murder conviction is they wanted the public to see that people can testify in these type of cases, you know, namely against Alex. And there wasn't going to be repercussions, that the people, you know, were hailed, some of them as heroes for, you know, in open court, actually saying things that were against Alex or the family's interest. And, you know, there's really been a ground swell kind of momentum of people saying, well, maybe this stranglehold that the Murdaughs had on both the justice system in Hampton County, the political system, the law system, is being a little bit eroded. Certainly Alex's power and the family, really, there's nobody left. You know, there's no lawyers left except Randy. And he's really not a power broker in that New Parker law firm. Alex was really the dynamic family member. So with Alex locked away safely, I think that their hold on the legal system is not what it once was. You know, you've seen they felt they had to take his name off the name of the law firm. That was a big step. A big statement. Now it's the Parker Law Group. A couple attorneys have left. And I think what you will see over the next couple years is lawyers moving into Hampton County. A couple have already done that. A couple have indicated they want to open an office there. So competition's a really good thing, because before this, the Murdaugh firm had a monopoly on it. So all these things are encouraging to Chief Keel, who believes that it's just going to take one person to talk and the kind of well will be popped open. Sure. And, you know, you never want to be the last person to talk. You always want to be one of the first persons to talk, especially if you have some criminal or culpable liability. Mm-hmm. So people are talking, and that's a good thing.
Let's talk about that for a moment. If I'm understanding correctly, you had said recently that you have no reason to believe at this time that the Murdaughs had anything to do with this. I know I'm kind of paraphrasing from something I remember you saying. Is that an accurate statement first?
It is. I have no knowledge that they had anything to do with his death. What I didn't say is that they don't have any knowledge about his death.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know what the grand jury is going to find. I don't know if there is a situation where the Murdaughs have knowledge of what happened. You know, there's conflicting statements now about Randy and Alex being on the scene of Stephen's death and when they came on the scene. According to Sandy Smith, she drove by the accident scene on the way to the funeral home, and Alex and, according to her, Alex and Randy were there. Randy called her on the phone and offered his condolences and his support and services. Now, Randy says, "I was representing her husband at the time on a workers' compensation matter." Mm-hmm. I also got a phone call from Randy's lawyer from the Weiss firm. His name is Wallace Lightsey. And he told me that, yes, Randy was at the scene, but that was either a day later or a day and a half later. And he came there with an investigator at the request of Sandy's husband. So Sandy says one thing, Randy's saying another. Alex hasn't made a comment, obviously, about Stephen's death or if he was at the scene. If you were to ask me, you know, is this just a random hit and run? I my answer is no.
Sure.
Do I think that somebody decided to wake up at 2:30 in the morning and say, "Hey, I'm going to go down this dark country road and I'm going to see somebody walking and I'm going to hit him on a, in a car"? I'd tell you no. Mm-hmm. I think it's more familial than that. I think that people had a knowledge of Stephen, of Stephen's lifestyle, of maybe who he was having relationships with. And I'm told that somebody that he was having a relationship with was an older man, mm-hmm. and was very powerful.
Sure.
That was told to Sandy by Stephen himself, who said that he was going to go deep sea fishing, I think it was the following week, mm-hmm. with somebody who was very powerful. He was very secretive with Sandy about his relationships, not about his lifestyle. He had an open lifestyle, mm-hmm. but secretive about the relationships he had. And maybe somebody that he had a relationship with felt that that he was insecure about the secret nature of that relationship. And he was worried that Stephen was talking, or that somebody would find out that, you know, he had a relationship with Stephen. All that, I think, will be ferreted out by the grand jury, and we'll get answers. Now, will the answer be that it was murder? Maybe not. Maybe maybe somebody tried to scare him and it went horribly wrong. Mm-hmm. At the very least, a crime did happen. A hit and run vehicular confrontation, which resulted in a manslaughter, did happen. Mm-hmm. And somebody left. And somebody knows, you know, that somebody died on that road. It's one thing if you're driving on the road and you think you hit a deer or there was a thud and you weren't sure of it. There's been so much publicity about Stephen's death that you would know you were on that road at 2:30 in the morning, and it wasn't some type of object. It was a human.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi